had this idea about asking you questions about dating, but I wanted to get the questions through this new AI program called ChatGPT, and I wanted to get your opinion or feedback on ChatGPT's AI questions on dating. And just for a little context, Brianna is a licensed marriage family therapist and quite the couples expert. So this would be really interesting to get her feedback.
Electricity, I feel fire, feel of emotion, I feel fire between you and me.
Hey, this is Zed. Welcome to the 4-H Cast, where we discuss all things wellness. From interviews to tips and tools, we are here to inspire and help you grow. So, first question from ChatGPT. How do I deal with dating anxiety? Many people experience anxiety and nerves when it comes to dating, especially if they have had negative experiences in the past.
Yeah. First thing that comes to my mind is we have to look at what's the origin of the anxiety. So is the origin of the anxiety because we had a bad dating experience? Is it because we're so nervous about meeting our future spouse? And the bottom line, and this might not be a favorable response, is there's probably going to be anxiety there. And even if you feel a little nervous, I think you still have to put yourself out there. Something that I think could help is that we have to reduce our expectations or minimize our expectations. If you're going into a date thinking, I'm about to meet my future wife or husband, your anxiety is probably going to be pretty high. If you pull back some of those expectations of, I'm going on a date to practice dating, to see if I enjoy this person's company, to see if we're compatible, then if it's a bad experience, it's not going to hold as much weight if you're going to, if you're going there to really try to meet your future spouse. It might come out as a funny story. Man, this guy, he was so rude. Okay, now we have a funny story. It doesn't have to be devastating. If there's safety issues, that can be different. And we can talk about that later. But really, I think everyone's going to be a little nervous. We're all putting ourselves out there. We're being vulnerable. And we just have to be okay that we're going to be a little nervous.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so number two from ChatGPT. People often worry about how to determine whether someone is a good match for them in terms of compatibility, values, and lifestyle. So how do I know if somebody is right for me?
Well, we're not going to know right off the bat. You're not going to meet somebody. I know. You're not going to meet somebody and know within that first date if they're right for you.
Yes. Shocking. I know.
And what I was commenting earlier, I think we have to approach dating by giving it time and allowing things to develop naturally. So if you're first dating someone, I think your goal needs to just be getting to know them. Are we compatible? Do we have compatible goals, life visions? Later down the road, if you're having that choice that you're making, frankly, I don't think it should be hard. If you're worried that this is not the right person for you, then we probably need to look at, why are you worried? Are your needs not getting met? Do you guys fight? Is there a miscompatibility with interest and life goals? So if you've been dating for a year, 2 years, and you're worried if this isn't the right person, then we probably need to look at, maybe there's something in our way.
Fair enough. All right, number three. How do I approach someone I'm interested in? Approaching someone can be more nerve-wracking, and people often worry about how to do it in a way that is respectful and genuine.
That's a great question. What is the app called?
ChatGPT.
Great question, ChatGPT.
GPT, yeah.
This could be answered in so many ways. Like, what's the setting? Frankly, I don't think a bar is a great setting. Could you still meet somebody at a bar? Sure. Whatever setting you're in, let's be direct and let's be... just not to play games around it. So if you see a woman at the grocery store and you think she's the most stunning woman you've ever met, like,
how you doing?
Go up to her, say hi, but don't be weird about it.
Oh la la.
She'll be like, I noticed you and you caught my eye. Like, are you single? Do you want to talk more? Do you want to go to coffee? I think organic settings probably feel a lot better for a lot of people. Joining leagues, like a racquetball league or a frisbee league, or I met my husband in a volleyball league. So you have these organic settings that make it really easy to talk to people. Because frankly, Would I really want to talk to some random guy in the grocery store? No, that would be kind of weird for me. But if we can get people in these organic settings, it can just feel more natural. And if you meet a woman and she's stunning at the coffee shop and you guys start talking because you're talking about your coffee, great. And then if you're vibing, ask her if she'd ever want to get coffee again. So just being direct about it.
Sorry to interrupt, but if you're looking for additional wellness services in the Denver metro area, check out Voyages Wellness Group. We can be reached at vwell.group. That's VWELL.group. Now, back to your regularly scheduled program.
Okay, number four. How do I balance dating with other priorities in my life? Many people struggle to balance their dating life with work, hobbies, and other obligations. And I know in my practice, I've seen one of the big struggles is having children also.
Sure. This might not be a favorable response, but I think where you put your time is where you value it. And so if you want to be serious about dating, you will put time away from work, away from your friends, getting a babysitter. And I know the dynamic of being a parent and dating, it adds certain issues with it, and like the guilt of wanting to step away from your kiddos. I'm not suggesting every night you go on a date, but I'm suggesting, can you find a babysitter to come once a week to watch your kiddos for a few hours while you go out on a date? So I really think it's a heart matter of, do you really want a date? Are you really putting value into this? Because if you are, you will find the time.
So you're saying when people prioritize others, it means that they matter? And
yeah. So if you're willing to prioritize a dating relationship, it's a reflection that you're actually ready to be in a relationship. Prioritizing dating, well, what's going to happen if you have a relationship? You have to learn that skill of how to manage having somebody that you're responsible, accountable to. So if you can't manage it during dating, then maybe you need to look in the mirror and wonder, look at yourself and ask if I'm even ready to date right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So number five of the ChatGPT questions, how do I navigate cultural religious differences in dating? Dating someone from a different culture, religious background can present unique challenges, and people often wonder how to navigate those differences.
Sure. This would really be dependent on the person. If you are a faith-based person and it's not a big part of your life and it's not a really important to meet somebody also in the faith-based, then you're going to move a lot differently than if you're a faith-based person and you're seeking someone of the same faith. So really, faith is a little different than culture. But if faith is one of your non-negotiables, then I think you don't even open the door, no matter how wonderful someone could be. I'm not trying to be criticizing someone of a different faith. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't mean you're right and they're wrong. But if this is an important thing for you, then you should not be opening the door to even dating someone of a different faith. Culture could be different. I think that's going to be really between you and that individual. There's a lot of things that you're going to face. Could it be race? Could it just be, again, if someone's coming from really strong family origins, I think it can be done. You just have to talk about it. You guys have to have open communication about what's important about each other's culture. Where do I fit into your culture? How do we manage when I meet your parents and I'm white and they're not? So I think open communication is going to be the best thing, and talking about how you guys will work through it as a couple and overcome these barriers. And also, how do we then integrate things that are important to each other? And that's where when you value someone, you love someone, you want to honor what's important to them. So that would hopefully be organic and natural.
Well, what if I believe that my worldviews, religious or otherwise, or cultural worldviews are the most correct ones, and I really want us to live by those?
If that's the way you feel, then you really got to go towards someone who's in your your same religion. I just don't see how it's going to work. Especially if people are of two different religions, and if you feel that strongly, where's the end goal? Where's this going to get you? Are you going to try to convince somebody to convert for you? If they're open at the beginning and there's conversations, maybe that could work. But if you're meeting someone and your faith is this important and it's the right faith, and you want a partner that is in this faith with you? And they're like, yeah, that's not me. We got to look at, like, am I going to compromise my desire to live in this faith, or do I need to let this person go? It's not that they're bad. It's just that, where's that going to get us? If I think what happens a lot of the times, people, and I'll talk about this later too, we ignore things that are important to us because we so badly want to be in connection with this person. But if you ignore that component, that this faith is really important, it's going to lead to devastation. 6 months down the road, a year down the road, 5 years, 10 years, where you were hoping, well, maybe over time I'll be able to convince them. And that's not how it works.
So you can't just change people to the way you want them to be?
No. And I think it is different if someone's open to it. That's different. But if they're, no, I'm never going to go to church with you. I don't want to. I'm not interested. You need to take me for who I am. It's pretty black and white there.
That makes sense. So number six, how do I know when to end a relationship? Ending a relationship can be difficult, and people often worry about whether they are making the right decision and how to do it respectfully.
Yeah. I think people stay in relationships a lot longer than they should.
Do tell.
I know. I see it all the time with my clients. We have all these fears that if this relationship ends, I will be single for the rest of my life. If this relationship ends, I will never find another partner. And we really got to look at those fears. Show me where there's evidence that out of billions of people that walk this earth, no one else would find you attractive. No one else would be interested in you. So really those fears are just based in anxiety and maybe some deeper issues of the self that we need to look into. So we need to look at those fears. But the question was, how do I know when to break up with someone? And really our bodies tell us. When I meet with people, there's anxiety in their bodies. If they're in the wrong relationship, they're questioning it, they're doubting it, there's something off, something doesn't feel right. When you're in the right connection with somebody, it feels peaceful, it feels calm, it feels like it just fits. So we as humans just try to make things not fit, I think, because of our fears. So really we gotta look at our fears, and if we can let go of our fears, then you can more freely be like, I just don't think this is right. How we go about ending relationships really, I think, depends on how long the relationship was. If this is a 2-year relationship, then yes, we have to be very respectful and sit people down and identify the truth. It's not working for me. The more detailed you could get, the better. If you just say it's not working for me, that's going to leave somebody in a whole lot of anxiety. What's wrong? Doubts. If you can try to look inward and be specific of this tension we feel when we fight. I feel like I can never meet your needs. I feel like I'm constantly pulling from you, asking for more, and that's just not fair for both of us. So really, the more specific you can be, probably the more it can honor the relationship. If you're dating for a month and you've been on 4 dates, this is where I'm like, if you want a text breakup, like, whatever. You've been on 4 dates. It's not going well. So it really depends on how much the relationship, how much has been invested in the relationship.
That makes tons of sense. All right, so that was number 6. Let's move on to number 7 of ChatGPT's brilliant questions. How do I avoid falling into unhealthy relationship patterns? Mm-hmm. Many people have patterns of behavior in relationships that are not healthy, and they often worry about how to break these patterns and establish healthier habits.
Yeah, this is a very complicated question because patterns run so deep. Patterns run into the survival of ourselves. So if you're wanting to change your patterns, you're probably going to need to do some deeper work of what is my pattern and why am I doing what I'm doing? Really, it comes down to what are my needs and how am I trying to get them met? A lot of the times, why we get into bad patterns in dating relationships is we either are pretending we don't have needs, and that is leading us to then be in a relationship where our needs are not being met, or we're trying to force somebody to meet our needs and it's just not compatible. So I think you have to do a lot of introspection and understanding what are you actually trying to get met in these relationships? And this, honestly, this is where I would say someone needs to enter into therapy to understand their attachment styles. Attachment is how we bond with other people, and it gets impacted at childhood from our own caregivers, our own DNA. And sometimes we're not even aware of the things we're doing. And also these unhealthy patterns, it's also a lot of our nervous system. So when you're so used to being in unhealthy relationships, your nervous system actually craves it.
Did you hear that, honey?
Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again.
So when you're so used to being in unhealthy relationships, your nervous system actually craves it. So your nervous system is craving this high and this low. And I'll just say, like, if I'm the woman in a relationship and maybe I don't hear from my dating partner for 3 days, now I am panicking, right? I'm in a low of a low. And then all of a sudden, he throws me a carrot and he reaches out to me. What happens to your nervous system? Oh my gosh, that feels so good. You immediately get soothed. And so it's almost like an addiction. It keeps you in this really unhealthy pattern. You go from these lows to these highs. So you have to be willing to tolerate getting out of that extreme nervous system, low and high. And it's hard. And you have to be ready to do it. Like, there's no easy way around this. You have to be willing to tolerate being alone. You have to be willing to be tolerating being sad. You have to be willing to tolerate walking away from something that you think is good. So going back, I think this is a complicated question that probably needs professional support in going to an attachment-based therapist and doing some work to understand how not to go into those patterns again.
Thank you so much for sharing your insight, wisdom, and guidance on these questions. Glad to have you back for another episode of the Voyage Cast. We appreciate your continued support, and we're excited to keep bringing you great content. If you love our podcast and want to show some extra lovin', consider joining our Patreon. And of course, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. And share this podcast with your friends and family.